Our first scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Acts. On this Pentecost Sunday, we'll be reading from chapter 2, the book of Acts, verses 1 through 21, and it is found on page 948 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my, my manservants and my maidservants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Our gospel reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we'll be reading from verses 8 through 17, and it is found on page 938 of your pew Bible, beginning on 938. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The word of the Lord. Today is Pentecost Sunday. As you can see, the church is all decked out in red, and some of you are decked out in red, a few of you anyway. I don't know what penalty we will impose upon those of you who did not wear red this morning. But Pentecost Sunday is the Sunday of red. It is the Sunday of fire. It is the Sunday when we celebrate the Holy Spirit falling upon the church. I was listening to Neil talk about the little hymn that we sang earlier. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in his place. I like that little hymn. I like it because it's true. Every time we gather here as the people of God, the Spirit of the Lord is indeed upon us. We may not have blown through the door at the behest of a rushing wind. We may not have arrived here with our heads on fire, at least not all of us. None of us are likely to get up and start speaking in unknown languages. Nevertheless, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, because that's what happened on that first Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the early disciples of the Lord, and the church was born. And that is who we are this morning. We are the church. We are part of the Spirit-filled body of Christ. I emphasize the we because we have this tendency in our society, and indeed in the church, to be terribly individualistic. We're like that, of course, with our relationship with God. We are often very individualistic, believing that our relationship with God, our relationship to the Lord, our relationship to the Spirit is a private one, a private relationship. But while the Holy Spirit is indeed touches us in personal ways, the Holy Spirit is not a private spirit. We're reminded that at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is poured out on the whole community of faith. It is poured out on the young. It is poured out on the old. It is poured out, as Joel reminded us, on all flesh, on all who were part of the household of faith on that first Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church. And I've been in some churches where they have celebrated an actual birthday. They've actually had a birthday party with cake and gifts. But it's important to point out that Pentecost does not belong exclusively to us Christians. Initially, Pentecost was a Jewish holiday celebrating the first fruits of the harvest. It was also a day that Jews celebrated the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And so ethnic Jews from all over the empire would have been in Jerusalem celebrating on that day, celebrating the day of Pentecost. But now the Holy Spirit explodes on Jesus' followers with dramatic effect, transforming them from a small, timid, bumbling group of followers to a potent community of faithful disciples who go out and turn the world upside down. The miracle of Pentecost, of course, is that the barriers of language and ethnicity are no match for the Holy Spirit. We are told that Jews from all over the empire are able to hear the good news proclaimed in their own language. And we are told that the Lord adds 3,000 to their number. In fact, so powerful and potent is the Holy Spirit that when the first Christian community gets together, a little later in chapter 2, that we are told that no one says that anything that they have is their own, but everyone shares and gives so that everyone will have what they need in order to sustain themselves within the community. So not even language and division is a barrier for the Holy Spirit. But we're also reminded that there are some who are not convinced. That there are some who, even when they see the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out on that first Pentecost, believe that the early Christian community is intoxicated. It's a reminder that there are those who like things the way that they are. That there are those who are not even convinced of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so it is Peter himself who staggers up, comes forward to remind everyone that they are not drunk. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning, but this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of course, is a mystery. We are reminded that it blows where it will. It has its own ways of doing things, and those ways are not always our ways. It's fair to say that we Presbyterians sometimes are a little wary of the Spirit because we like things done decently and in order. We don't mind a sweet, sweet Spirit that we sang about earlier. But sometimes, as Neil reminded us, the Holy Spirit is more than just a sweet, sweet Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is a Spirit that disrupts our carefully crafted plans and goes beyond the bounds of what we think is decent and in order. But even though the Holy Spirit is a mystery, there are some things that we can say about it. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and it is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of truth in a world that is often governed by lies. It is the Spirit of peace in a world that is often embroiled in violence and strife. It is a Spirit of life in a world that is conditioned by death, indeed a world that believes in the power of death. It is a Spirit of love in a world where hatred and lovelessness often hold sway. The Holy Spirit is all of those things. But most importantly this morning, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that empowers the people of God to go out into the world and do the things that Jesus did. That's what the Lord himself said in our gospel reading for this morning, that when the Spirit falls on the early community, that when the Spirit falls on all of us, that it empowers us to go out and do the things that Jesus did. And not only that, but do even greater things. Everything that Jesus did, of course, we know from the gospel narratives, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He taught by the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, it was the Spirit that descended upon him at his baptism when he heard the divine voice declare him to be the beloved Son of God. It was the Spirit that was upon him that sent him out to proclaim the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim release to the captives. Everything Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. And now at Pentecost, we are reminded that that same Spirit is upon all of us. It is upon you and me, empowering us not only to do the things that Jesus did, but to do even greater things. That's what happened at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell on the early church, and the church moved forward in the power of the Spirit, bearing witness to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that by keeping his commandments and continuing the life-giving work of the Spirit, that we are indeed doing what Jesus himself had done. I am told that the fastest growing church, the fastest growing denomination, are those Pentecostal churches. Those churches that celebrate the charismatic gifts of the Spirit. Most of them are found in what is called the Global South, in places like Africa and Central and South America and in Asia. Indeed, the largest church in the world is that 800,000 charismatic church in South Korea. Many of the churches here in our own society are dying. Indeed, we live in an increasingly secularized society. But in much of the global South, the church is growing in leaps and bounds. And the churches that are growing are those churches that again emphasize the charismatic gifts of the Spirit. When I was a teenager, the little church that I grew up in invited a larger charismatic Pentecostal church to worship with us. They were a congregation in need of a building, and we were a small church that had a building, and so we invited them to worship with us. And they did. And they were a church that celebrated the charismatic gifts of the Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They danced in the Spirit. They prophesied. They had ecstatic forms of worship. For the year that they were with us, we had a good time. But then they left our church. They found their building. And I remember being terribly sad and a little angry when they left, because I thought that they would be taking the Spirit with them. But of course I was wrong. The Holy Spirit was always on our little church. The Holy Spirit was on our little church before this charismatic body came, and it was on our little church and upon all of us when they left. The Spirit manifested itself in many ways in our little church. We were just a small little fellowship. But the Spirit was powerful in the midst of that church. It manifested itself in the life of Sister Rule, the matriarch of the church. She was the lady who gave me my first Bible. She was the one who encouraged me academically. She was the one who sent me to Memphis to look at going to a Christian school, though I disappointed her and went to the Army instead. But she had a powerful, powerful presence of God's Spirit upon her. The Spirit manifested itself in Brother Reese, who took me and my brothers to his farm in the summertime and allowed us to get a dose of farm living. When many other members of that original church had moved away, Brother Reese and his family, three generations of them, stayed there in the church, and he guided me and nurtured me and my brothers. It was manifested in our pastor, Brother Collins, who would take me with him as he walked down Commercial Street ministering to the AA organizations, greeting homeless people and inviting them to come to our church. None of these people that I mentioned ever spoke in tongues. None of them ever danced in the Spirit. But the Spirit of God was powerfully upon them, because all of them did the work that Jesus did in acts of love, in acts of kindness, in acts of self-giving. We are told that wherever people are being taken care of, wherever hungry people are fed, wherever naked people are clothed, wherever people are being reconciled who have been at enmity with one another, wherever people are being embraced, we are told that the Spirit of God is at work. We know that the Spirit of God is at work because this is the very kind of ministry that Jesus himself undertook. And Jesus tells us that we would do the same things that he did, and indeed even greater things, when the Holy Spirit came upon us. Sometimes I look out into the world and it seems so daunting. Sometimes I look out in our communities and the situation seems so hopeless. Sometimes I read the news or watch the internet and things seem so wicked. The news is so bad. And I wonder if we in the church can make a difference, if we can make a difference in our communities, if we can make a difference in our families, if we can make a difference in our world. Are we left alone? But Jesus reminded us that he would not leave us orphaned, that he would not leave us alone, that he would give us his Spirit and pour his Spirit out upon us. And it's because we have his Spirit that we can go out and do the very kinds of ministry that Jesus himself had done. Ministries of justice and love. Ministries of peace and reconciliation. When I was in seminary, I took a class where we toured the city of Atlanta. And Atlanta at the time was a city on the move. It had gleaming skyscrapers and glitzy restaurants and hotels. And we visited many of the leaders of the city. We visited the mayor and the city council. And we also visited a consortium of business leaders who really ran the city. They were all very impressive people, all people caught up in the spirit of progress that characterized the city. But there was also another Atlanta, one that wasn't nearly as glitzy or promising. It was the Atlanta of dilapidated and crime-ridden housing projects, legions of homeless people priced out of the housing and rental markets, state-of-the-art jails and prisons overflowing with inmates, hospitals, waiting rooms, and clinics where sick people went who had no insurance. We paid a visit to that Atlanta as well, and I was even more impressed by the many people that I met there. who were people of faith. There were the folks at the open door, some of them seminary professors, who not only advocated on behalf of the homeless, but some who even lived with the homeless in the open door community. There was the woman who started a hospice house for people who were suffering from AIDS. There was a Christian doctor from Pakistan who worked long hours in an inner city clinic providing care for people who couldn't afford it. There was the teacher who conducted weekly Bible studies in one of the local jails. They were all doing the work of Jesus, proclaiming the good news, binding up the brokenhearted, and proclaiming release to the captives. They didn't have a lot of resources. They didn't have a lot of followers. They didn't have name recognition or big fancy buildings that they worked out of. But what they did have was the presence of God's life-giving spirit that allowed them to touch the lives of others in love. I never heard any of them speak in tongues. I never saw any of them dance in the spirit. I never saw any of them exhibit the kind of charismatic gifts that we often associate with a Pentecostal spiritual movement. But they were doing the work that Jesus did, because they were all people who were filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of Christ. Jesus says that we would do not only the work that he did, but that we would do even greater things than Jesus. And the reason that we are able to do those greater things is because Jesus, when he was here, could only do things one at a time. Jesus was restricted to one place and restricted to one time. But through the power of the Spirit, you and I, the church, the body of Christ, are able to touch people all over the world. You and I are able to touch many different people. That's the way the church has always operated, in every age, in every time. We've been able to touch people all across the ages and all across the world. And together, collectively, with fellow believers around the world, we've been able to do greater things than even Jesus did. We have that same life-giving spirit on each and every one of us this morning. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are the spirit-filled community sent out into the world to do the things that Jesus had done. Through God's Spirit, we are his people. That Spirit does not belong to any of us personally, but when we are baptized into a Spirit-filled community. We are called to be on fire for God. We are called proclaim the good news across the barriers of race, across the barriers of ethnicity, across the barriers of language, across the barriers of class. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have his Spirit upon us. And it is indeed a sweet, sweet spirit, because it is the presence of the everlasting Lord, who had always promised that he would never leave us orphaned. And so indeed he is with us even now, and we are called to give glory and praise and honor to his presence in all that we do. To the glory of the Father and the Son, and yes, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us on this day that you have already begun to set the world on fire with your love. That you have set the world on fire with your compassion. That you have set the world on fire with the servanthood of your people. Help us, Lord, to be open to the movement of your Spirit in our midst. Help us to go out into the midst of this world powerfully with your Spirit upon us. Help us and teach us to do the things that Jesus himself did, because we have his Spirit, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.